In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Said to be a Buddhist. I don't think that faith offers the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith. So my message to Tiger would be, Tiger, turn to the Christian faith and you can make a total recovery and be a great example to the world.
After Senator McCain asked her to be his vice president, how did she respond?
She was very calm. I said, you don't seem nervous at all about this. And she said, no, it's God's plan.
We must communicate clearly to Muslims around the world that Al-Qaeda offers nothing except a bankrupt vision of misery and death, including the murder of fellow Muslims.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
You know, I think the gurus of church growth have one thing right. Very little do they have right, in my opinion, but they do have one thing right. We are living in a post-Christian culture, a culture that may still be borrowing on the capital of a previous Christian or culture under the influence of Christianity, where the vocabulary of Christianity may have had some familiarity, words like redemption and forgiveness and reconciliation and justification. But nowadays, you say the word God, it means, well, how many people do you have in the room? It means that many different things to each and every one of them. And we're told that we should be able to define God in our own terms. Now, if that's true, if we were living in a post-Christian culture, then shouldn't our preaching be all the more explicit? When a Christian pastor steps into the pulpit or up onto the dais to preach a sermon, shouldn't it be completely and utterly clear? No generic God, because you just utter the word G-O-D and it means anything to anyone. And if the church is actually tasked with preaching Christ and Him crucified, shouldn't that preaching be not only explicitly about Christ and Him crucified, you know, actually tell the story of Jesus' death for sinners and His resurrection from the dead? Shouldn't our sermons be filled with Christ if we are here to preach Christ, have Christ-centered preaching? Shouldn't they be filled with explicit descriptions of and proclamation of Jesus Himself, not God in a generic sense? When we do sermon reviews here on Issues Etc., as we will here in the first 45 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc., we like to keep it explicit and specific. It's Wednesday afternoon, January the 13th. We'll review a sermon here for the first 45 minutes, preached by Pastor Daniel Preuss on the baptism of Jesus. And then a little later in the program, Pastor Matt Harrison will join us to talk about the earthquake in Haiti, its aftermath, and relief efforts there. He's Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Every time we review a sermon, good or bad, here on Issues Etc., we use the same three-part diagnostic. First, to my point of just a moment ago, how often is Jesus mentioned? This is a simple task. You listen to the sermon from beginning to end, and you keep a running tally of how often Jesus, not the big man upstairs, not generic God, but Jesus explicitly is mentioned. You're not doing anything other than simply counting explicit mentions of Jesus. And folks, Christian preachers ought to have nothing better to preach than Jesus. He ought to be all over the sermons, don't you think? If Jesus is mentioned, then go on to part two. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? That's a little grammar. That means, is Jesus the one in the sermon who's doing the verbs? Is he driving the verbs? Is it about what you do or about what Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then one more thing to do, and that's answer this question. What are those verbs? Is this the Jesus who helps, inspires, motivates, coaches you through life, is on the sidelines of your life, rooting you on? Or are the verbs closer to the scriptural vocabulary regarding Jesus Christ, the one who lives and suffers and dies and rises again, who redeems, forgives, washes away sins, purifies, sanctifies, all those things, all those verbs that Scripture says Jesus is busy doing? Is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? With our diagnostic in hand, let's review this sermon preached by Pastor Daniel Preuss on the baptism of Jesus. He's preaching as a guest preacher in Houston, Texas at Memorial Lutheran Church.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, which we consider as the basis of our meditation this morning, has been caused by the Holy Spirit to be recorded in the Gospel of Luke and is the Gospel lesson you heard read. I would like to read just a few verses for emphasis, the last few verses of that text. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus, dear friends, the story about Jesus' baptism is a section of the Bible which I think is generally not that well understood or appreciated by many people. At least they don't understand it as they should. Even many Christians who are fairly well read in the Bible may read this story and think to themselves, well, this is a nice story about Jesus. It shows that the Father is pleased with him, and this is something we need to know. It demonstrates the doctrine of the Trinity. The Father speaks from heaven about the Son who is being baptized, and the Holy Spirit descends from heaven in the form of a dove. There you have the doctrine of the Trinity. We need to know that. And of course, it demonstrates that Jesus is the Son of God. The Father declares so from heaven. We need to know that. Well, this is fine. All these things are true. They're important. They're essential for us to know. But I don't think that you can fully appreciate this story of Jesus' baptism unless you know what it has to do with you. And this story has a great deal to do with you. In fact, this story of Jesus' baptism is about you. To show how the story talks about you, I'd like to spend a little bit of time this morning talking about a concept which is fundamental to Christianity. In fact, if you don't understand this concept, I don't think you can understand Christianity at all.
Now, before he goes on, he says he's going to preach this sermon and talk about the baptism of Jesus and tell you how it has to do with you. You might be saying, don't we hear this all the time from you, Wilkin? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Maybe this preacher is off on the wrong foot. He's going to preach a sermon and tell us how Jesus' baptism is about us. Well, think about this for a moment. There are preachers out there who do preach sermons all about you. They preach the Christian rather than the Christ. Jesus has come for us, but they don't present a Jesus, these other preachers. They present the Jesus in you, but not so much for you. Jesus serves as example, as a template to be followed. And that's all the more you can get out of their preaching. Basically, a moral or character model, role model, to be followed. Now, they claim to be preaching about Jesus, but in fact, they're really preaching about you. I think if you listen carefully to Pastor Preuss's sermon as it goes on, he says, I'm going to tell you how the baptism of Jesus is for you and about you. You hear him talk a lot about Jesus.
If you don't understand this concept, you can't understand anything about the person of Jesus. In fact, you don't even know who Jesus is. Do you know what the concept is? It's the concept of substitution. Now, we all know fairly well, I think, what a substitute is. In this sports-crazed nation of ours, it would be hard not to know. But let's just review it simply, okay? Very simply, a substitute is someone who takes the place of another. And that means that everything a substitute does has the same value as though the original person did it. So if a basketball player, for example, fouls out of a game, a substitute is put into the game in his place, and everything the substitute does counts. All of the baskets he scores count. It is as valid as though the original player did it, right? Or if there is a baseball game, a person gets injured, has to leave the game, another player is put into the game, and if that player hits two or three home runs, they count. Everything the substitute does counts, just as much as though the original player had done it.
All right, he's off onto the subject of substitution. When we come back, we'll find out where he's going. And I think this is a good place to begin. Love his analogy on substitute. I hadn't even thought about it in terms of the sports analogy. If the original player is out and the substitute is in, the substitute fills the entire role of the original player, and everything the substitute does counts. Now, if the substitute is Jesus, and he's standing in for you, what he does counts for you. We'll be right back with our sermon review. Pastor Daniel Preuss preaching about the baptism of Jesus. Stay tuned.
And how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only Son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, January the 13th. We're reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor Daniel Broyce on the baptism of Jesus. He's introduced the category of substitute. He said, a rather bold statement a few moments ago, if you do not understand this particular concept of substitution as it applies to Jesus Christ for you, then you don't understand Christianity and you cannot claim to truly know who Jesus is. That is a bold statement. We'll let him continue to make that statement and defend it as we review this sermon. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Twitter us here in the studio at IssuesETC or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Well, Jesus is our substitute. We fouled out of the game of life, so to speak. God gave us rules by which we were supposed to live, and we broke those rules. We fouled out right at the start. Already as little children, we were rebelling against God's rules, and we have been breaking them ever since. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We know this is true. We confess it. And because of the way we've lived, there could be no victory at the end of the game. We were headed for a certain loss. There is no doubt about that. But then God sent us a substitute. He sent his own son to take our place and do what we have not done. We should have kept the law. We didn't. So he sent his son to do that for us. And he did. Jesus says to his Father in his high priestly prayer, "Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." He was our substitute. Everything we should have done, he did. And he did it perfectly. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that he did it without sin. He did everything we should have done, but didn't do. We were supposed to love God with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. We didn't do that. But what does Jesus say about his own work? He says in the Gospel of John, "I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love." He did what we were supposed to do but did not do. Again, we were supposed to be punished for our sins, for our breaking of God's rules and commandments. But God sent us a substitute for that too. And Jesus was punished in our place, bearing our sin and our guilt so that we could go free. John the Baptizer pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who bears the sin of the world." Everything we should have been, our substitute was. Everything we should have done, our substitute did. So because Jesus kept every commandment perfectly, God looks at you as though you had kept all of his commandments perfectly. That's how he sees you. Because he's your substitute, Jesus. And because Jesus died for us on the cross, bearing all of our sins as our substitute, God looks at you as though you had already paid for every sin that you have ever committed because Jesus did it for you. Well, this is all fine and good. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. But what does this have to do with Jesus' baptism? I thought we were talking about Jesus' baptism. We are. We're talking about Jesus' baptism and about what his baptism has to do with you. Don't you think that when he was being baptized, he was doing that for you too? I get the impression sometimes that there are quite a few people who think that pretty much everything that Jesus did for us, he did in the last few weeks of his life, or perhaps even just in the last few days of his life. And I certainly don't want to downplay the importance of what Jesus did on Good Friday, and then, of course, on Easter Sunday. At the same time, we need to know that Jesus was our substitute every single moment of his life. He was our substitute with every breath he took, with every step he walked, with every word he spoke, from the very moment of his conception in the womb of Mary until the time of his death. He was there in your place. He was there for you and for me. He never did anything for himself alone. Everything he did, whether it was obeying his stepfather Joseph, whether it was showing love to his mother Mary, whether it was fighting off a temptation, whether it was looking for a place to sleep at night, everything he did for you and me. He wasn't there for himself. And so when he was baptized, he didn't do that for himself either. I've heard people say, Jesus never sinned. I don't know why he needed to be baptized. Well, of course he didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need to die either, for that matter. He didn't need to be born. He didn't need to do any of these things for himself. He needed to do them for us. And that's the whole point. His baptism also was on our behalf. When we understand that, his baptism takes on a whole new meaning for us.
Now, I think he's very nicely outlined precisely what it means for Jesus to be our substitute and put it in the context of what for many would be a very puzzling passage. What is Jesus doing down there in the water? What is Jesus doing coming to John the Baptist? You see, if you think Jesus is doing something for himself, or if he's simply, carrying out some big object lesson, or leaving an example for you to follow, it doesn't make very much sense of him going down for a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I once had someone say, can you push it farther than just saying he bore our sins? If he's really bearing our sins going down into baptism, was Jesus going there bearing our sins, not his own, our sins, even repenting like everyone else was repenting? Not repenting of his own sins, but repenting of ours? Did he there render perfect repentance for sins that were not his own, but in fact ours, the sins he bore? Well, dear Christian friends, if you have a hard time with Jesus repenting in your place, repenting for you there in that baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, you're going to have a really hard time with him dying in your place.
When you hear or read the story of Jesus' baptism, God wants you to remember that his baptism was on your behalf, so that when you hear the voice of the Father speaking from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, you understand that he's speaking not just about Jesus, but also about you, because he was there for you. You realize when you see the Holy Spirit descending from heaven in your mind's eye in the form of a dove, you know that because Jesus was there as your substitute, that Holy Spirit is meant also for you. In fact, in your baptism, that Holy Spirit was given to you, just as he came upon Jesus in his baptism. You see, when you are baptized into Christ, as you all have been, everything that is Christ's becomes yours. What did we hear in this morning's epistle to the Romans? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus by our baptism share in his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism, we were buried with him so that as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too should walk in newness of life. In his epistle to the Colossians, Paul says much the same thing. He says, in baptism, you were buried with him and raised with him. What Paul is saying in both of these cases is this. When you have been baptized, you share in the death of Christ. That means that all of the benefits of Christ's death become yours. And what are those benefits? The Bible tells us that through his death, he has atoned for sin.
He'll get on to the other benefits here in just a moment. We'll take a break and hear the remainder of Pastor Daniel Preuss's sermon on the baptism of Jesus on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 13th. I'm Todd Wilken, reviewing this sermon that was preached at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. And then, after we've concluded our review, Pastor Matt Harrison will join us to conclude today's program. We'll talk about the earthquake in Haiti. This is a truly mind-boggling catastrophe. We're talking about perhaps 100,000 dead. There is absolute chaos, a country literally in ruins and burning as we speak. We'll see what can be done with Pastor Matt Harrison here in about 15 minutes on Issues, Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilken?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilken? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison. cph.org.
Proclaiming Christ, not the Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Planned Parenthood profits.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
According to LifeNews.com, Planned Parenthood of Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota shows that their abortion business brought in record profits in 2008. Total revenues rose almost $3 million over the previous year, an increase of about 11%. Scott Fishbach of Minnesota Citizens for Life says he is dismayed by these figures and notes one can easily see why Planned Parenthood wants abortions covered in all health care reform. It means huge amounts of money in their pockets. While many people are suffering in this tough economy, Planned Parenthood is raking in millions of dollars from the government.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilken. Little sermon review on this Wednesday afternoon, a sermon preached by Pastor Daniel Preuss on the baptism of Jesus. He's enumerating the many benefits of baptism, those gifts whereby through baptism God gives us all the benefits that are Christ's. Let's let him get back to his list and conclude his sermon and our review.
When you're baptized, you receive the forgiveness of all your sins, because that's what Jesus' death accomplished, and you've been baptized into his death. The Bible tells us that his death opened the gates of heaven to us. When you're baptized, heaven is open to you because you've been baptized into his death. The Bible tells us that in his death Jesus conquered Satan. When you're baptized, you have defeated the devil because you have been baptized into Jesus' death. And that's not all. In both of the above passages, Paul tells us that we will also live. We will be raised to life through our baptism. Why? Because we have been baptized with the name, with the word, and in the name of God into the death of Jesus. And just as he rose from the dead, so also we who have been baptized into his death rise with newness of life. Paul tells us in Titus that God saved us by the washing in which the Holy Spirit, through the Word, gives us a new birth and a new life. I am amazed at how complacent people frequently are about their baptism. How many of you here this morning know the date of your birth? Well, every person 3 or older knows the date of his birth. Well, how many of you here this morning know the date of your baptism? Paul tells us that on that day, the Holy Spirit gave us a new birth and a new life. Yet there are many who never even think about their baptism or about what it has brought to them. Can you imagine a person saying, "Oh, my birth, I don't consider that a very significant event in the context of my life." Well, can you imagine a person saying, "My new birth to a new life, I don't consider that a very significant event in the context of this Christian life in which I live?" In his Pentecost sermon, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children." Can you imagine someone saying, "Well, I don't consider that particularly significant"? I want to be honest with you this morning. I'd like to make a request. I would like to request that you think more about your baptism. Most of us here this morning, probably, I'm guessing, were baptized as children. And there we received all of the blessings that God bestows in baptism. And if we were baptized later, as an adult, the case is the same. You were buried into the death of Christ, and having been buried into his death, everything that his death achieved becomes yours in baptism. In baptism, all of you have risen to a new life in which all of your sins are forgiven, and where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. All of this is yours in your baptism. Or do you doubt that baptism can bring such a blessing? John the Baptizer pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who bears the sin of the world." Jesus had taken upon himself all the sin and all the guilt of all the world. Right? Yet when he came up out of the water after his baptism, what did the Father say? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you think he will do any less for you who have been baptized in the name of his beloved Son? You may think that you are the most sinful person who has ever lived. "God, how can you forgive me?" you may think to yourself, "after what I have done." Well, let's assume for a moment that you are the most sinful person who ever lived. The sin you carry is nothing compared to what Jesus carried. He bore the sins of every man, woman, and child who had ever lived and who would ever live upon this earth. All of their sin and all of their guilt he bore upon his shoulders and took them to the cross. Yet on the day of his baptism, God said about this sin bearer of the sin of all the world, I am well pleased with you. He went to the cross, and he was punished for those sins he was carrying, for your sins and for mine. He died bearing those sins of all of us. Yet 3 days later, he rose from death, and through his resurrection was declared to be the righteous Son of God. And his resurrection was our absolution. If Jesus, who in his death bore the sin of the world, can be declared righteous, surely you who have been baptized into his death can be declared righteous through your faith in him, and you will be saved from your sin and from death. So after this, all of you who are baptized, when you hear or read the story of Jesus' baptism, remember that he is there for you, because everything he did for you. And as you see him walking up out of the water, see yourself there, walking up out of the Jordan with him. And as you hear the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased, hear him saying also to you, this is my beloved Son, or this is my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased. And as you see the Holy Spirit descending from heaven in the form of a dove, see also that Holy Spirit has descended upon you and lives in you, in order that you in your new life, which he has given you, may live to the glory of God. After all, every one of you who has been baptized into the name and into the death of Jesus. May the day never come when we think lightly about this great work God does for us in baptism. St. Mark says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And Luther explains this verse in Mark, and I'd like to conclude with this explanation of Martin Luther. Therefore, state it most simply in this way. The power, work, profit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is this: to save. For no one is baptized in order that he may become a prince, but as the words say, that he be saved. We know that to be saved is nothing other than to be delivered from sin, death, and the devil. It means to enter into Christ's kingdom and to live with him forever. Here again you see how highly and preciously we should value baptism, because in it we receive such an unspeakable treasure. Amen.
A sermon preached by Pastor Daniel Preuss on the baptism of Jesus hits all the right notes. Not only sticks with the text, notice how he didn't deviate from the text at all. He didn't get off into some subject unrelated to what the text was, show us a moral example to follow. No, he presented Jesus as my substitute, your substitute, even from his baptism, bearing our sins. Jesus was all over the sermon. He was running the verbs, all what Jesus does for us, and the verbs were all the right New Testament verbs. The Jesus who forgives and redeems and stands in our place, not only there in the water of the Jordan River, but also hangs there in our place at the cross, lays there in our place in his tomb, and comes out alive after 3 days as our substitute. All comfort, because it's all about Jesus. Now, when we come back from this break, we're going to spend the last 15 minutes of this Wednesday afternoon's program with Pastor Matt Harrison. We're going to talk about the earthquake in Haiti. The devastation is beyond calculation at this point. They are still pulling people out of the rubble, and they will probably for weeks. you know, Haiti wasn't in that great a shape before the earthquake. Very little do the people of Haiti have, the poorest nation in the Western world, and a dangerous place to begin with. And now after this earthquake, well, the nation's president is saying, my country is destroyed. So what do we do? What can we do? We'll answer that question with Pastor Matt Harrison. How do we explain things like this? Perhaps up to 100,000 dead, many, many injured out of their homes. How do we explain this as Christians? We'll talk about the earthquake in Haiti with Pastor Matt Harrison right after this.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed. You are prosperous. You can do all things. Your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.